Welcome to the Healthcare IT Today interview series. We feel lucky to be able to talk to so many smart, passionate, and knowledgeable people in healthcare. Now, we're taking our favorite interviews and sharing them with you. So sit back, relax, and enjoy perspectives on the world of health IT.
Hey everyone, I'm John Lin, the founder and chief editor at Healthcare IT Today. We're excited to bring another in our series of interviews with top leaders in health IT. And our guest today is Tom Herzog. He's COO of NetSmart, and Matthew Arnheider, SVP of Innovations at NetSmart. Welcome, guys.
Welcome. And thanks for the opportunity. Looking forward to the conversation, John.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be fun to hear about everyone's favorite topic, AI. But I think you guys are applying it a little different than others. So I think it should be quite interesting. But before we dive into that, maybe you could start us off, Tom. Tell us a little bit about yourself and NetSmart.
Yeah, I'll jump in. I've been with NetSmart since 2011 and I've been in healthcare for nearly 30 years now. I guess I'm going to have to calculate that out at some point. And absolutely very passionate about the cause and communities that we serve. My main focus point over that time has been, how do you take technology and some of the challenges and opportunity and create just incredible solutions for who's ever using it, whether it's clinical, operational, or financial? NetSmart, we're the largest human services provider in the marketplace, and we serve also post-acute and population health, and looking forward to talking about some of the things that we're doing today.
Awesome. Thanks, Tom. Matthew, how about yourself?
I'm Matthew Arnheider. I lead up the innovations team at NetSmart, responsible for a lot of the net new initiatives, and really what that comes down to is working with our clients, understanding where there are opportunities and challenges out there, and trying to fit technology to drive efficiency on the clinical side, to drive better outcomes with our clients, and to improve kind of the lives of those that they care for.
Excellent. So talk to us, you announced an AI data lab initiative. What is that?
Well, you know, it's something that we're doing with our partner AWS, and it's an opportunity to take real world challenges and opportunities and really work together and collaborate real time on how we might present those solutions to create what we call extreme usability. It's one thing to throw technology at something and hope that it addresses it. And we've all been there, or we may take this type of tool or solution and say, hey, does that make things better? And while it does, there's an opportunity now that when we're working together with them and with our clients together, real time, iteratively, we can come up with better solutions faster. And so that lab is taking these different ideas and challenges and opportunities. And we all know AI is a great buzzword right now, but really specifically focus on what meaningful impact can we have? How are we going to drive better outcomes or deliver more efficiency? And that's really the twofold thought that's out there. And we begin every problem or opportunity statement with that. What is it we're trying to do? Because it's easy to fall in love with the gadgetry, if you will, of technology. I think the more challenging part is, how does it become something more complementary to the user versus something that is great, another device I have to use or another application I have to input data in? And so this kind of thought is, hey, if we just cleared the table and we did that real time versus, hey, I'm going to work on something, you try it, and then maybe you try it, we all come to the table together and we're doing it real time. And by the time we're done, we're not just proposing an idea, we're delivering a solution that's ready made real time that can be used and consumed by everyone that we serve in our communities.
Interesting. I'm going to corrupt this quote a little bit, but someone said it recently that technology implemented in a usable way is very much like magic. And that's what it should feel like if it's done in a usable way. I think that's what you just described.
I'm going to have to borrow that from you. I like that because, you know, the aha moment is just that. And, you know, we've been digitizing, if we're candid, for the last many decades in healthcare. And it's always been about people entering data into the systems. And for the users, they're like, yeah, this is great, but what is the system doing for me? And I really believe we're at this amazing inflection point, magic, as you called, where it's no longer about the data that we need to input. This whole opportunity right now is possible because now we have these technologies that it's less about what that user is doing for the system, and it is absolutely more about what the systems are doing for the user, helping them make the right decision at the right time and the right way, and really, John, empowering and equipping them to do what they're so passionately about doing, which is helping other people.
Yeah, I don't think anyone would describe meaningful use as magic.
100%. It was a great catalyst. It was a tipping point. It really drove Matthew and I talk about that a lot. It helped us get there, but it was a beginning, not the end.
Yeah. And when you shift to the interoperability side of it, the amount of information that we're sharing across the healthcare ecosystem allows us to look at these models and to provide better insights from it. So it isn't all about just entering the data in front of the individual that you're caring for, but we can capture that information from other sources and make better determinations with these AI technologies.
Absolutely. So talk to us about what's the role. You mentioned your partner AWS in this. What's the role of NetSmart in your AI Data Lab initiative, and kind of what's the role of AWS or Amazon Web Services?
So we've been partners with Amazon Web Services for many years now. And really, this is kind of the next evolution of it. We're bringing both expertise on the healthcare side to the conversations with AWS. We're working with their product teams. We're working with many of the other teams throughout AWS to really start to look at things on how we can transform healthcare. We work with our clients also to bring them into the conversation. As Tom said, it's really about working with those end users, trying to find the problems out there and apply that technology with it. So when we look at our role inside of this lab, it's really expertise on the healthcare side. It's expertise in kind of the data science and other areas so that we can work on the models and help influence some of the aspects inside of AWS. As an example, with the HealthScribe solution that they released last year at their conference, looking at that, it had a very physical health kind of view in terms of the generative AI that they built. But behavioral health is a very different conversation that's happening between a therapist and a provider. How do we understand that conversation better? And how do we influence kind of the model that they've built out there to provide better insights, better generation of notes for those therapists, and ultimately providing solutions that can help the communities that we serve?
Awesome. And what kind of real-time insights are you able to provide caregivers at the point of care? I mean, I think that was always the challenge, like getting it to the point of care when it came to data analytics. And is this a proactive digital assistant, or does it require prompts from the caregiver? Talk to us about what you're able to do with this solution.
Sure. It's kind of all the above. So when we look at some of the machine learning aspects that we're building out, hospitalization as one of them, suicide risk models that we have out there, how do we start to influence the conversation right at the point of care? So as the individuals are being cared for in the setting, how do we present the provider with information around the risks of hospitalization? Not just that they had a 93% risk that they'll be hospitalized, but here are the influencing factors that we see. And ultimately, here are the interventions that we need to provide in order to reduce those risks out there. And that's where our kind of conversations with our clients come in. We can look at the correlations in the data. We can understand what factors contribute to hospitalization risk, and then look through some of the data to see what interventions have worked. But bouncing those off of the clinicians in the field provides that kind of extra layer of intelligence to the process and provides that insight to them. But that's just one area in terms of machine learning. We do aspects interrogation of notes and being able to prompt providers as they're writing the notes in the system. So the digital assistant can understand the narrative that's in there and start to look for things. Is it meet kind of the quality levels that will pass to provide a bill for that? Does it have the right language in there? Are there statements around goals and interventions that aren't married to the treatment plan that exists? All that's in real time, prompting the user as they're creating those notes. And then many other aspects in the future. We mentioned kind of the generative AI side with HealthScribe. How do we allow the providers to have that conversation with an individual without having to take notes? Allowing ambient technology to transcribe that whole conversation generate a note based on the different kind of structures that exist in behavioral health, whether it's kind of a SOAP note or a DAP note, which have specific requirements around them, and then allowing the provider to edit those in real time. So they can focus 100% on the conversation with the individual and allow the technology to understand what's happening through the conversation and generate that progress note automatically.
Yeah, John, you know, the evolution, I think, is really moving from point of care to point of action. And point of care has always had a very clinical focus, but point of action includes everybody in the role, even those beyond who are just seeing someone or treating someone. And, you know, when you think about the context that somebody can be doing, we know who you are. We know what your schedule is today. We know the context of what you're trying to do. Why do we even make anyone navigate to a place? As soon as I engage with the system, let me just present that to you so that you're immediately contextually aware. And then as you're engaging in whatever role that may be, it could be clinical, it could be operational or financial, then let me use nudge type technology. Nudge, what I mean, we're all familiar with kind of the evolution of what's happening in our vehicles today. Hey, you're kind of drifting outside the lane, or are you aware of this obstacle up there? Or, hey, there's an accident up ahead. That same technology is finding its way into every role within healthcare, not necessarily making the decision for you, but presenting you with information that often might be retrospective or require further investigation to be able to go down there. I mean, at the end of the day, people always ask kind of what we do. And I believe we're in the decision-making business, and great decisions are made when you have the right information at the right time. We're able to make amazing decisions, and whatever someone's doing in healthcare, that's really what these AI technologies, our partnership with the AI lab, working together with our clients and AWS and ourselves, we're bringing a synergy and acceleration and velocity like we've never seen before to make it meaningful now. We're building tomorrow's solutions today. And I think that's what's so exciting.
Where are you at in the implementation of this? Is this something, it sounds like it will just be a core part of your product offering. You know, have you rolled it out with a lot of customers? Where are you at in kind of, you know, the AI Data Lab initiative and, you know, customers having access to it?
I mean, immediately we've already been rolling that out in our Bell's technology, which is probably the most popular one right now that's being consumed in our marketplace. Matthew, you want to talk a little bit about what the consumption of that has been for our client base?
Yeah, it's one of the largest growth aspects in terms of NetSmart, being able to provide that insight right at the point of care from the narrative side of it. So being able to analyze it. Ultimately, the Bell solution has resulted in progress notes being completed within minutes instead of days, because oftentimes those things wait until they can finalize them, going through quality checks and things like that, and saving providers up to 20% of their week. So allowing them to provide more care to individuals out there and reducing that burden on them from a documentation perspective. So that's out there and being used by many of our clients.
Yeah, it's being used by thousands of users at this point. And, you know, I give you kind of two things to think about statistically that we're seeing the benefit from is, you know, caregivers can spend over 40 to 60% of their time just doing documentation. We have the ability to cut that in half. So when you think about workforce shortage, you think about the need to be able to get employment. And at the end of the day, we're all consumers of healthcare, whether you're a provider or not. And we've all had the challenges of, hey, I want to be able to get this slot or this time. These kind of technologies are allowing people to be not only more efficient, but create more access to care that's out there. The other kind of statistic that we're being able to see is the volume of what people are able to do within a particular appointment. Because now that information, instead of, hey, let me go research that or be able to go look that up, it's contextually being aware within that. So instead of having to be seen maybe several times, you can reduce that a couple of times because you have that information immediately. And it's changing the whole paradigm of how people think around consumer engagement.
Interesting. I love that example. You know, you shared some interesting results, you know, with Missouri Behavioral Health Council that you worked with, you know, and we were able to achieve the following. You said 14% lower hospital costs, 16% reduction in emergency department visits, and 35% overall increase in access to care. What were the keys to really driving these results for MBHC?
The biggest kind of evolution that we had working with the state in general was really the aggregation of information across all of the silos that exist out there. So the state had all the claims data for all these individuals throughout the state. The providers had the EHR information, the individual care plans with them, the encounters that they had, various assessments that they performed with those individuals, in addition to all the lab tests and vitals information that they have. So we were able to aggregate all this information to provide visibility across the community to coordinate care in a completely different way throughout the state. So seeing if an individual doesn't have a primary care provider, because we see that from the claims data, seeing in real time or in near real time if an individual presents at a hospital inside of an emergency room, being able to provide alerts back to the care team to say that this individual presented at the hospital for the following reason. And oftentimes those are points where the care management teams, the care teams, can interact with that individual in a different way. They can get that person back to a setting of care that is best suited for their journey in terms of their behavioral health condition. So a lot of the efforts that we've done with the Mental Missouri Behavioral Health Council is really about aggregating that information, providing insights by correlating that information across the board, and then doing some of these risk analysis. So some of it's reactive, as I mentioned, in terms of the ER visits, but now that we have all that ER information in the system, we were able to create these machine learning models to look at hospitalization risk and present proactively alerts back to providers so that they can alleviate those risks early. So that's what a lot of the effort has been around it. And it really takes an enormous amount of people throughout the state, from the state themselves being able to provide access to that data, to all the individual 33 community mental health centers out there being able to provide care teams and interact in a different way with that data and the solutions that we provide.
Well, and data has never been the issue. I mean, you know, John, you mentioned meaningful use. It created more data and information out there. It's been aggregating that data in a meaningful way. And Matthew, I like how you said that is around what we're experiencing and the results of having less emergency room visits is that coordinated care. Because when you're able to see things and when you're able to identify those things at the point of action, as we talked about earlier, you're able to do more prevention. You're able to make those things happen so they're less episodic. We've had a great episodic systems across the continuum. What's happening now with the sharing of information, coordinated care, we're able to make better decisions with more information at the right time for the right person in the right way.
Yeah, it connects to what you said previously, that if they have the right information, they can do something different. they can treat it all at the point of care, a similar theme. You know, it was interesting, Matthew, you talked about working on identifying suicide risk. I'd love to hear how you're approaching that challenge, you know, as someone who carries the picture of a friend who committed suicide 20 something years ago, you know, in my wallet. I carry them around with me. You know, it's personal. I think most people have a story that's, you know, affected them. So talk to us about that and how you're approaching that, the challenge of suicide risk.
Yeah, it is definitely a personal challenge for many. Many have family or friends that have suffered from individuals that have died by suicide. So when we look at that challenge, The challenge is complicated by the fact that that information is often in many different places. You have the vital records information, the death certificates, oftentimes in the past not having an accurate statement of how an individual has died. But being able to pull that information in, being able to pull the information from the EHRs, the behavioral health providers that have seen that individual's journey, that have captured points of that journey inside of the EHR, looking at the assessment information, looking at the narrative notes that a provider has written about that individual, or a psychiatrist, psychologist has written about that individual, allows us to start to look for those correlations in the information that's out there. So it's oftentimes difficult to do for an individual organization. There isn't enough information in those EHRs to make those predictions, but being able to combine all the information across the state, being able to combine the other information from state databases, allows us to see a bigger picture, allows us to look for those correlations that exist, and then start to drive, similar to how we talked about from a hospitalization perspective, what does it mean to have a risk of someone that may have an intent for suicide or a plan? There's oftentimes a journey that happens even once an individual starts to contemplate that. And how can we start to see what state that individual is at and present it back to the providers in real time so that they can have a different conversation? And as we continue the journey for the solution, again, identifying the risk, presenting the risk factors that we see correlating to it, and getting to the action part. What interventions will drive the best reduction of that risk and ultimately save lives? And these things are always difficult to see after the fact. We can tell at a broad level that the trend has been X, but knowing if we helped an individual not die by suicide is a difficult problem. It's the proving that something didn't actually happen. So that's why looking at it from a state perspective allows us to look at the validation and see trends at a different level that can prove that these models do actually work.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I think COVID educated us all on death certificates and their the lack of quality that we have there to be able to do the analysis that you're talking about. That's really interesting. An important problem to work on. You know, Tom, anything else you see on the horizon for AI at the point of care, you know, from your perspective, what do you see happening?
Yeah, you know, we've all become more familiar with the term social determinants of health. And I would argue that probably the next step is social determinants of care, because the health is almost a retrospective. And this even ties into our previous conversation. We know that things that can impact a person contemplating their life is their vocation, their job security, financial situation, relationships, and those types of things. And you might go in wanting to look at one thing, but there's data that exists around you, around these other attributes that we know causation, correlation can be impactful. And as a caregiver, and maybe I'm in to see an acute aspect of something in my need, all of a sudden I see these other things that are going on, and that is the time to have the conversation. And, you know, I think for us to be able to take this immense amount of data and turn it into knowledge, what's in the future is imagine an opportunity that when we're interacting with consumers, whether I'm a primary care provider, maybe a health navigator, or someone who's doing check-in, that this context now is becoming available. And if I'm providing some additional information, immediately I say, you know what, we need to get you connected with this now, not later. And I think that's what's, John, I really believe why I'm so excited, that's what's going to happen. This information is going to be able to enable or equip us, if you will, to make better decisions. As a steward of my own health, and maybe things that I'm aware of that I wasn't aware of before, or for those that we're interacting with. And these technologies 5, 6, 7 years ago wasn't even possible. It was a thought. We were dreaming about it. We were all talking about big data and analytics, but it was always based upon trends. Now we're presenting it in such a way, we're going to fundamentally change how we engage in that. And I imagine in a very near future, I'll be getting a text or an alert saying, hey, Tom, we've noticed these correlation things around you. This might be a good time to go talk or engage on this kind of topic And that's going to create a better quality of life. It's also going to reduce the amount of episodic or acute episodic episodes, which is going to decrease the cost that's in healthcare. Because if we can prevent that, we're going to create a better system, a more accessible system, and a better driven outcome system.
Awesome. No, I think it's interesting. When you look at it, the only way to provide personalized care at scale is going to be technology. The data will be too much for humans, right? Like it's too much for us to process. Matthew, any final thoughts? And you know, what do you see on the horizon for AI?
I see a transformation in many ways. So how healthcare can transform interactions with the individual, as Tom talked about, is huge from the transformation capability of AI. I see the electronic health records transforming completely. The user interaction with them will be completely different over the next few years. It won't be populating forms and things like that. We'll extract more and more information from conversations, from facial analysis, that we can populate the information automatically using this technology. All of the burden that is put on providers today, because we have to populate forms around assessments or state systems because it needs to be aggregated into a national database. Can we do that automatically for the provider? So the capabilities that I see coming up really can start to be transformative for those providers, to reduce the burden on them. And ultimately, when you think about it, provide those insights is probably the biggest capability that's out there. And you're right when you talked about the fact that humans won't be able to consume all the information. It's already difficult when you look at some of the referrals that come across, hundreds of pages of information from past medical procedures, or just even the narratives that were created for an individual. No one reads all that information, but with AI, we can understand, we can consume all that information, and we can move from a model where it's been just a second opinion to I can have a million opinions, because I can have all of the research information within these models providing better insights back to it. And you're already seeing that out there with some of the tests.
Well, I contend, Matthew, and you know, I will look back at second opinion almost as a very analog or barbaric term. That why would you ever get second opinion? You should absolutely have a million opinions. And John, to your point, the only thing that can do that is technology, our participation in it, and most importantly, moving from data collection to knowledge awareness.
Nice. Tom, Matthew, this was a lot of fun. Really interesting to see what NetSmart's doing together with AWS to be able to address some of these challenges that we face in healthcare. So I really appreciate you taking the time, and thanks everyone for watching and listening. If you want to find more great healthcare IT content like this, be sure to check it out at healthcareittoday.com or search for Healthcare IT Today on your favorite podcasting application. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.